starts to really pay some attention to what's going on in there. You know, any church project that involves building would look at this and say, wow, how can we have a successful campaign like these guys did? I mean, you look at what's going on here. Everything had to come together to do what was going on here. You know, any kind of a building project needs a number of things. It needs someone to organize it. It needs someone who knows architecture. It needs someone who knows engineering. It needs someone who knows how to motivate the people when their energy starts to flag and when they don't feel like everything is going well. And when we read through Genesis 11, what we find is that this seems to be a resounding success for a building project. Everyone likes to receive praise, and when you look at what's going on here and what they're accomplishing, it seems like this is truly one that is for the books. Because even God takes notice of how well they're doing here. Nothing that they propose to do now will be impossible for them. God's saying, as he comes down and views what they're doing, these people are doing such a wonderful job that what they want to do means nothing will be impossible. Now, that's hardly the only thing that God points out. There are also a number of other things that he mentions which points out some of the things about this. And while there is an importance in leadership and coordination, one of the major things that God also points out here is the intent behind these things matters. You just have to look a few verses earlier to see what the intent was of these people as they came together to build their city and to build their tower. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed. Now, it is true. Everyone likes to be recognized for the work that they're doing. They like to receive some praise from time to time when they're doing things well. However, what it seems like for these people is that they were doing this so that they would always be seen as the pinnacle of people in this world. They desire to be recognized for what they're doing. And while it's a good thing to also want to be together in that kind of a way, it seems like this is being done for their own reputation. In fact, in the previous chapters leading up to this, we have an account. God speaking to Noah. God telling Noah to build an ark and then flooding the whole world and then rescuing Noah and his family. In the aftermath of that, we get to this story of the Tower of Babel. But you notice what is conspicuously absent in the eyes of the people. No mention of the God of Noah. Leadership, coordination, the gifts of God that he gives to do and accomplish such things may be wonderful. But when the intent behind them is not to glorify God, God takes notice. And so we see a few things from this story. One is that God, as a result of all this, frustrates the language of the people. He makes it more difficult for them to come together, to work and coordinate with one another, and therefore to accomplish things. Now, in the eyes of anyone who's ever had a project that you're trying to work with others on, this is a very negative thing. However, when we look at this, we see that there is God at work here to prevent something. These people will no longer have the echo chamber that will allow them to heap sin upon sin and continue to drive themselves away from God. Because in their cooperation, they were working for and with one another. They were working for themselves, which is the ultimate definition of sin. Man turned in on God. And so in doing so, they were building this monument to themselves. And in doing so, they were misusing the wonderful gifts that God had given. Gifts like leadership, creativity, architecture, engineering. In fact, this the world, he ultimately creates the need for mission work. As he confuses and scatters the people over the face of the earth, they are now going to have to learn new ways and new patterns of interacting with one another. They will need to learn how to respect one another and listen to one another. God is still going to be at work in the world, as the rest of the Bible attests. But for his people to continue that work that he has given them to do, it's going to require them to learn about others, to respect the others that they will come across. And then as they speak God's word, to find the way in which that word will speak to them. Make no mistake, even though God confuses the languages, God's message will continue to go forth. When we get to the next chapter of Genesis, in chapter 12, we find that message begin to take a little bit more shape. God reaching out to a man by the name of Abram, calling him to leave his family, leave his country, and go to the place that he's going to show. And as he is telling Abram that he's going to do that, he also says that he will be a blessing to all the families of the earth. That's where we start to see the heart of God. Abram called to be a blessing that extends outward. And we see there the opposite intent, which we saw with these builders. Their intent was focused on themselves. Abram called to be a blessing outwardly to others. Now, you and I have the joy and privilege of living on the side of the events of the scriptures that we do. And of course, when we look back at this, we see that ultimately that promise that God made to Abram is fulfilled in Jesus. Because there in Jesus, we see the complete opposite intent of these master builders in Genesis chapter 11. An action of one that is done to be for the benefit of all others. An action done not as a monument to himself, as we were hearing in John 14, where he was saying, "Not even the words that I speak are my words, they are the Father's words." Because Jesus acted in his life and death and resurrection, not for himself, but for the Father and for every single one of his neighbors in this world, his is now the name that is exalted above all names. His is the name at which every knee will bow. And we thank God for that action, for ourselves and for our neighbors. Now today is June 5th. According to our chapel calendar, today is also the day that we have the commemoration of Boniface of Mainz, missionary to Germany. Now, I looked up a little bit about Boniface because I had never really looked at him before. I found out a few interesting things about him. He was a missionary that was sent from England to Germany, or what would later become Germany, in order to bring the good news to the people of Germany. Now, suggesting around here that someone from England needed to go to Germany to bring the gospel, that might not necessarily be the most well-received thing. Although I have to say, according to 23andMe, it shouldn't bother me that much. It says I'm 25% British and Irish and only 14% German. So I guess I'm okay with this. But one of the things about Boniface is when he got to what would become Germany, he had a very great missionary fervor and zeal. He went there and he recognized that what had been done there in the past, bringing the Christian message, needed to be greatly reformed. And so he began that work there. And as he continued his work, he began to organize what would later become Germany in many different ways, both spiritually and politically. But the reason that June 5th is the commemoration of him is because that fervor and that zeal to bring the word of God and the message of Christ to the people there was such that on Pentecost Day 754, June 5th, as he was reading the scriptures to a group of Christians, Now, the danger that we may face here in our particular context may not be the same danger as many of our brothers and sisters in other places in the world. And yet that danger is no less